In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
It's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we were looking at the Ark of the Covenant, that it was brought into Jerusalem. And there was trouble because the Ark was carried on a cart and not by the priests. And Uzzah tried to steady the Ark, and he died. And what happened? David was afraid that the Lord was angry, so they put the ark in the house of Obed-Edom. And what happened? For 3 months it was there. And Obed-Edom's wife became pregnant, and now David wants to take the ark into Jerusalem. And he does, and he sings, and he dances, and he offers holocausts and offerings. Oh, yes. And at the end of it, he's so joyful, he distributed to every person of Israel a loaf of bread, a cut of roast meat, and a raisin cake. With this, all the people left their homes. But you see, David was dancing before the Lord, and he wasn't clothed very much. And his wife, Michal, who is Saul's daughter, she made fun of David, and the Lord said Saul's daughter, Michal, would be childless to the day of her death because she poked fun of David. David danced before the Lord. He had to. It was a great joy. It was a great joy. I was at a birthday party last week or 2 weeks ago for Father Matt Williams, and there was a little baby. I would say he was no more than 18 months, and he was dancing and dancing and dancing. It was so beautiful the way he was watching people, how they would dance, and then he would imitate them. It was wonderful. You know, he had no fear of dancing. Oh, the church would be much better if we had time to get the people dancing. Get the people dancing. I'm looking at the 7th chapter of 2 Samuel. When King David was settled in his palace, he's living in a palace, David is, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies on every side. That means there's peace in the land. The Lord has given him rest from all of his enemies. And he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar while the ark of God dwells in a tent." He felt guilty. Let me tell you this. You don't want to do anything out of guilt. It doesn't really produce fruit. He felt guilty that he was living in a house of cedar while the Lord's Ark of the Covenant was dwelling in a tent. Nathan answered the king, "Go do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." That's what Nathan said. But I'm telling you, Nathan did not check in with the Lord. But that night, the Lord said to Nathan, "Go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day on which I led the Israelites out of Egypt to present, but I have been going about in a tent under cloth." In other words, you know what, David? Don't do me any favors. You don't have to build me a house. In all my wanderings everywhere among the Israelites, did I ever utter a word to any of the judges whom I charged to tend my people Israel to ask, why will you not build me a house of cedar? Now then, speak to my servant David. The Lord of hosts has to say this. It was I who took you from the pasture and from the care of the flock to be commander of my people Israel. I have been with you whenever you went, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you, and I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance, neither they nor those of old, since the time I was appointed judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from your enemies. The Lord also reveals this to you. He will establish a house for you. Hallelujah. You know, we think we want to do something for God. And the whole reality is God loved us first. And the whole reality is unless God does something for us, we can't do anything for God. Yes, that's real. You know, I know people say we want to build a church for God, but we want God to do something for us so that out of love we can do something for Him. And always know that it's His presence that gives us the ability to do what we need to do. And that's very important. That's very important. That is not we who have loved the Lord, but it is the Lord who loved us from the beginning. David, I'm going to build you a house. And from your loins, you know, from your loins will come the Messiah. Oh, yes. The Lord also revealed to you that He will establish a house for you. And when your time comes and you go to your rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you that sprang from your loins, and I will make the kingdom firm. Jesus Christ is the one who springs forth from the loins of David, because Jesus was of the house of David. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. This is the long-awaited Messiah that the Jews were waiting for, and most of them rejected Him. And I'm telling you, He is still Lord. He is still Messiah, and we need to have Him do something for us before we can do anything for Him. I'm telling you that it is very important that we have Him do something for us rather than we do something for Him. When God does something for us, then we can respond in thanksgiving and do something for Him. You see, David said, I'm going to build the house of the Lord. I'm going to build Him a house of cedar. And what's his name? Nathan the prophet didn't check in. But at night, the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, tell David, I'm not going to have you build me a house. Now, there's a couple of reasons why the Lord didn't ask David to build him a house. First reason, he was going to build a house for David from the loins of David. Yes, the house of David. And then the second reason was David was filled with blood. His hands were filled with blood. He was a warrior, and the Lord did not want a warrior to build his house, a warrior who had his hands filled with blood. It is he who shall build a house for my name, that's Messiah, and I will make his royal throne firm forever. I will be father to him, and he shall be son to me, that's Jesus. And if he does wrong, I will correct him with the rod of men, with human chastisements. But I will not withdraw my favor from him, as I withdrew it from your predecessor Saul, whom I removed from my presence. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever. Nathan reported all these words and the entire vision that he received to King David. I tell you again, we need God to do something for us. We need God to do something for us. I know people come to me and they say, I have a lot of faith. And I say, well, you know, if you have a lot of faith, let's say to this mountain, be thou moved. Oh, no, I have a lot of faith. But where is your faith? Is your faith in your faith or is your faith in the Lord? You see what I'm saying? That the Lord is going to do something. Where is your faith? Today we celebrate the martyrdom of Paul, Miki, and his companions. They were crucified in Japan. And Paul, Miki, was from the cross, was saying to his companions, don't give up, because in a couple of moments we're going to be into the presence of God. We will be with Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give up. Suffer generously, because in a couple of moments we're going to be in the presence of Jesus. And we shall see him as he is. And that's what Paul Miki said to his companions. I tell you, there are martyrs today that people do not recognize. Martyrs throughout the world that die for the Lord Jesus. They are in the Middle East. They are in China. They are in North Korea. I tell you, there are martyrs that have given their life for Jesus and will give their life for Jesus. One of the things we need to do is to pray for these people who are under persecution. We do not even know in America what persecution is all about. And I hope we never do know it. But I'm telling you, there are many people today suffering persecution for the name of Jesus Christ. That beautiful minister in Iran who is in jail, Father, release that beautiful minister. Send him home to his wife and children. Send him home, Lord. He has suffered enough. And you said the present sufferings are nothing as compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Oh, God, release this man in the name of Jesus. Then King David went and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, Lord God, and who are the members of my house that you have brought me to this point? Yet even this you see as too little, Lord God. You have also spoken of the house of your servant for a long time to come. This too you have shown to men. Lord God, what more can David say to you? You know your servant, Lord God. For your servant's sake, and as you have had at heart, you have brought about this entire magnificent disclosure to your servant. And so great are you, Lord God. How does David respond that from his loins shall come the Messiah? He praises God. Great are you, O Lord God. There is none like you. There is no God but you, just as we have heard it told. What other nation on earth is there like your people Israel, which God has led and redeemed? It is his people, so that you may have yourself renowned by doing this magnificent deed and by doing awe-inspiring things, as you have cleared nations from their gods out of the way of your people. How do we respond when God does something wonderful for us? When God promises us, how do we respond? Oh, we praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we honor you. Oh, God, you are worthy of praise. You are great. You are great, oh, Lord. There is none like you, oh, God. We are your chosen people. You have chosen the weak to make the strong blush. We are the weak, but we have complete confidence in the cross. Oh, Jesus, thank you and praise you and bless you. The Holy Father said the church has to learn how to praise God. And one guy said to the Holy Father, but that's what the charismatics do. He said, that's for the whole church, learning to praise God, that he is great and he is wonderful and that there's none like him and that he is worthy of all of our praise. In the office of readings, it tells us that we are going to praise God for the day. I'm telling you, we don't praise God because, you know what? We have no idea about how praise works. I tell you, praise has its own way of working, doing things that only God can do through our praise. You have established for yourself your people Israel as yours forever. And now, Lord God, confirm for all time the prophecy which you have made concerning your servant and his house, and do as you have promised. Yes. You see, this is the whole thing. David says, now I've heard from the Lord. Now, Lord, just do what you promised. Your name will be forever great when men say, the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, and the house of your servant David stands firm before you. It is you, Lord of hosts, God of Israel, who said in the revelation to your servant, I will build a house for you. Therefore, your servant now finds the courage to make this prayer to you. And now, Lord God, you are God and your words are true. Hallelujah. You are God and your words are true. What words have God promised to you? What words that God has said to you? You are God and your words are truth. You have made the generous promise to your servant David. Do then bless the house of your servant that may be before you forever. For you, Lord God, have promised, and by your blessing the house of your servant shall be blessed forever. The house of your servant David shall be blessed forever. You would think that David is on the high mountains of praise and that, oh, my Lord, he can't do anything wrong. He is praising God for God being God, for God promising to establish a house from his loins. Oh, you would think that David would never do anything to upset the Lord and to upset the relationship with the Lord. Oh, yes, that's what you would think. But I'm going to tell you, the best of men are men at best. The best of men are men at best. Because I'm telling you, you know what's going to happen? We're going to see David, and we're going to see him fall. And we're going to see him fall in a sick way. I tell you, we look at the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. At the turn of the year, when kings go out on campaign, David sent out Joab along with his officers and the army of Israel. They ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. David, however, remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David rose from his siesta and strolled about on the roof of the palace. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing who was very beautiful. Oh, this is temptation. We just heard David praising God for what he's going to do to the family of David. We just heard David praising God that there was no God like God, but now he sees a woman bathing that was very beautiful. So David had inquiries made about the woman, and it was told that she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. My Lord, my Lord. He has been tempted, and the next thing he does, he orders the messenger to take her. Then David sent messengers and took her. And when she came to David, he had relations with her at the time when she was just purified after her monthly period, so then returned to her house. But the woman had conceived and sent the information to David, I am with child. Here we have David praising God in the 7th chapter of 2 Samuel, but now we have David committing adultery. And if adultery isn't bad enough, he's going to have Uriah killed. I tell you, the best of men are men at best. We need the Lord to keep us sober. When we experience temptation, what we want to do is run from it. Don't plug into the temptation. Everybody's temptation is different. When we are tempted, we must run from the temptation, because that temptation will make us fall if we plug into it. So what happened? David therefore sent a message to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. What does he want? He wants Uriah to go and lie with Bathsheba so that Uriah will think that the baby belongs to him. Oh yes, this is what you call sin upon sin. So Joab sent Uriah to David, and when he came, David questioned him about Joab, the soldiers, and how the war was going, and Uriah answered that it was all going very well. David doesn't care about the war. He wants Uriah to go sleep with Bathsheba. David then said to Uriah, go down to your house and bathe your feet. Uriah left the palace, and a portion was sent out after him from the king's table, but Uriah slept at the entrance of the royal palace with the other officers of his lord. He will not go into the chambers of his wife. Why? Because he is a soldier and fighting for the enemies of David, and he will not do it. David even wants to supply a picnic lunch for him and for his beloved. Yeah, he wants Uriah to sleep with Bathsheba, so that Uriah will think that the baby is his. David was told that Uriah had not gone home. So he said to Uriah, have you not come from a journey? Then why did you not go down to your house? Uriah answered, David, the ark of Israel and Judah are lodged in tents, and my lord Joab and your majesty's servants are encamped in an open field. Can I go home to eat and to drink and to sleep with my wife? as the Lord lives and as you live, I will do no such thing. Then David said to Uriah, stay here today also. I shall dismiss you tomorrow. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem from that day. Now sin is going to be heaped upon sin. On that day following, David summoned Uriah, and he ate and drank with David, who made him drunk. But in the evening he went out to sleep on his bed among the Lord's servants and did not go down to his home. My Lord. Sin upon sin. The next morning David wrote a letter to Joab, which he sent by Uriah. In it he directed, place Uriah up front where the fighting is fierce, then pull back and leave him to be struck down dead. Oh my gosh. This is David. This is David who praised God for what God promised through his loins, the Messiah. This is David. We're not talking about someone that God didn't move in his life. This is David who's going to get Uriah killed. Why? Because Bathsheba is pregnant. And he's going to get Uriah killed because he's sinful. Oh, yes, he's sinful. He's sinful. So while Joab was besieging the city, he assigned Uriah to the place where he knew the defenders were strong. When the men of the city made a sortie against Joab, some officers of David's army fell, and among them was Uriah the Hittite. He died. Then Joab sent David a report of all the details of the battle, instructing the messenger, when you have finished giving the king all the details of the battle, the king may become angry and say to you, why did you go near the city to fight? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall above? Who killed Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal? Was it not a woman who threw a millstone down to him from the wall above, and so he died? Why did you go near the wall? Then you in turn shall say, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. The messenger sent out his arrival. He belayed to David all the details of Joab had instructed him. He told David that the men had us a disadvantage and came out into the open against us, but we pushed them back to the entrance of the city gate. Then the archers shot at the servants from the wall above, and some of the king's servants died. Among them was your servant Uriah. David said to the messenger, this is what you shall convey to Joab. Do not be chagrined at this, for the sword devours now, here and now and there. Strengthen your attack on the city and destroy it. Encourage him. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband had died, she mourned her Lord. But once the mourning was over, David sent for her and brought her into the house, his house. She became his wife and bore him a son. But the Lord was displeased with what David had done. You see, this is so interesting because it's so real. One moment David is on the top of the ladder proclaiming how good God is. The next moment he is filled with lust. And the next moment he gets Uriah killed. I tell you, this is what humanity is all about. When we are tempted, we need to run from the temptation, not giving it any time. We have the internet today, and when we are tempted to click on things that we should not be clicking on, I'm telling you, we need to think that this is an offense against God. Oh, we may have prayed for healing and people got healed the day before yesterday, but today I am presented with something that challenges my faith, a temptation. Oh, yes, David was tempted, and we will be tempted, but God gives us the way out. It is so important that we know that whatever happens, we need to be in praise to God. We need to run from temptation. We need to say, Jesus, here I am. I'm weak and I'm poor. David had Uriah killed. How sick is that? How sick is that? And the Lord was displeased with what David had done. That is the story. The Lord was displeased with what David had done. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. If you are tempted, run from your temptation. Give your life to Jesus today. If you have sinned, make it to confession. Give your life to Jesus this day. Oh, yes. Don't be, what's the word, flabbergasted that you fell on your face. The best of men are men at best. Get to confession. I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.